You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Thanks for joining us. Welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program spotlighting the issues that affect our communities by providing a closer look at agencies and nonprofit organizations that serve the public. I'm Julie Eslett, Communications Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. On this edition of Community at Work, I talk with Holly Lamassurier, who is the Director of Homeward 2020, the think tank guiding implementation of the City of Fort Collins' 10-year plan to make homelessness rare, short-lived, and non-reoccurring. Also in studio is Marla Cleary, Director of the Housing First Initiative that collects data on long-term homelessness in Fort Collins and also implementing Housing First approaches, and Jess Fear, who is the Health District's Community Impact Team Liaison for building intensive care teams for people experiencing chronic homelessness. Welcome, Holly, Marla, and Jess.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. So let's begin with the obvious. What is Homeward 2020 and when did it begin?
Thank you, Julie, for the opportunity to speak with you today. So the mission of Homeward 2020 is derived from our community's 10-year plan to make homelessness rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. Homeward 2020 is not a service provider. This is a misconception of Homeward 2020. But instead, we perform more like a strategic think tank and provide guidance to the community as a convener, a catalyst, an advocate, and a data driver. Homeward 2020 began in 2005 with a small group of really passionate and very committed community members who called upon our community to prioritize addressing homelessness because they were increasingly seeing homelessness in Fort Collins. Fort Collins then joined a growing national movement and became one of hundreds of communities that created these 10-year plans to address homelessness and got lots of national, local, regional support to implement them. So from its inception back, creating the plan in 2010, the organization has united very strong partners that have significant influence and impact in the community, as well as developed a growing grassroots movement of community awareness. So we have partners like CSU, Bohemian, City of Fort Collins, United Way, Housing Authority, shelters, donors, builders, a broad array of folks who are invested in the 10-year plan. But together, we provide policy recommendations and program direction to make homelessness rare, short-lived, and non-recurring in Fort Collins.
Great. And how is the program funded?
The program is funded with both public and private investment, but I will also add that there is enormous, immeasurable human strength that has come from the entire community through organizations and individuals who have deeply committed and contributed to the vision of the plan to make homelessness rare, short-lived, and non-recurring.
Seeing a pattern here, but yeah, so that's good to get that mm-hmm. out. And what phase is the program in now?
The program is in a very exciting and inspirational phase. Essentially, Homeward 2020 is catalyzing very important systems change right now. Coming from a lifetime background of human rights and social justice activism and community organizing, as well as bringing my kind of professional career in community organizing or community development and planning, I really resonate with where the organization is at right now, essentially in its final phase of the 10-year plan. They're attempting to leave a legacy of systems transformation, which I see as a truly community social movement. So if we look at our community and say, is this really the community we want to be with 339 chronically homeless people? Is this the best we can do, particularly for a very thriving and prosperous community? You know, what kind of community do we want to co-create together, and particularly looking at homelessness? So we know we have the ability to do better. And I would say particularly in the movement and the messaging right now, we're really acknowledging that it's not about individual failures. It's mostly about a failing social, economic, and political system that we as a community can strive to create more social safety nets for people who are kind of dropping through the cracks. That these systems affect all of us, but if we want to be a greater, bigger, better community, we can definitely work together to do better. So this final phase of Homeward 2020 is to activate the community. We've spent a lot of time planning, preparing, assessing, creating networks and communicating, and now it's time to activate and focus the entire community on solutions.
And Homer 2020, I know, as you mentioned, stresses the importance of collaboration, and now soon you'll be collaborating also with the public. And so would you like to discuss the community collaborative, which I know kind of maybe is a group that you check in with or has certainly been a part of this?
Mm-hmm. So the effort of the community collaborative, obviously any kind of collaboration can't be understated because we know we work better together. We all bring our strengths, our resources. We help each other see things from different perspectives. So our community collaborative has been particularly successful in bringing together folks from all those different sectors. But I think also by having so many different voices and asking questions of each other and getting new perspective, we've actually been successful in trying to come up with broad-based solutions and kind of focuses of strategy. And then we leave the community to say, okay, how do we have a health-focused housing system? You know, is our... is how do we communicate and collaborate and share data better? So these large strategies can then be translated into the community, but it comes from a very broad perspective. And then obviously I also, as the director, collaborate in lots of community task groups and focus groups and working groups as well. So I get to bring that back to the collaborative in our strategy as well.
Yeah, so it definitely sounds like there's a lot of voices and ideas out there, and this isn't just obviously driving from one group or one small group of of mm-hmm. people that are interested in this.
Mm-hmm.
And Marla, how does the Housing First Initiative collect data, and how does that data aid in the collective efforts to address homelessness?
Yeah, so Homeless Cares Housing First Initiative data is focused on individuals who've experienced homelessness for 6 months or longer in Fort Collins, which we define as long-term or chronic homeless, them being members of our community within the city. And most of our data is pulled directly from the Murphy Center, which is where Housing First Initiative is located. Everyone that walks through the door at the Murphy Center does an intake and meets with an intake specialist. So that intake form, it's completely self-reported information that we pull from. We collect that, enter it into our database, and then that's where we pull our data reports and points from. Any missing gaps that we have, or anyone that has experienced homelessness for 6 months or longer in Fort Collins that doesn't visit the Murphy Center, we also do outreach, and we collaborate with a lot of other agencies as well. The Murphy Center in and of itself is a collaboration. There's over 17 different agencies there that all work under one roof, so that it's almost a one-stop shop for someone experiencing homelessness or at imminent risk of becoming homeless.
And as you mentioned, with chronic homelessness, we're not necessarily, when we talk about maybe over 300 folks, we're not necessarily talking about maybe some transient folks that are coming through town, and that maybe people see in Old Town or whatever. They're just coming through for a short period of time, maybe traveling on someplace else and don't live here. We're really talking about people who have resided here, who've had homes here and lived here, grown up here, and are homeless, have found themselves homeless.
Correct, yes. Anyone that's been in Fort Collins over the 6 months will be on this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what are the latest numbers, as we were just saying, of chronic homeless in Fort Collins? What do those numbers look like?
So currently, Housing First Initiative has 339 participants who have experienced homelessness for longer than 6 months in Fort Collins. In this quarter, there was 39 people that hit the six-month mark, so that got added to that list. There has been 44 people who have been housed since the inception of the program in June. 16 of those folks were housed during this quarter.
So is there any place where folks can go to find some of this information that you've collected?
Mm-hmm. Both Homer 2020 as well as Homeless Gear will have our quarterly reports posted on their websites, as well as our monthly dashboard, which gives a good idea of what data points are available on a single day in Fort Collins for anyone experiencing homelessness. We also will be providing our first annual report in the end of the summer, and those will be accessible online as well.
And is there data that that backs up the idea that Housing First can help people get on their feet and not become homeless again, and two, can save taxpayers money?
So there is extensive evidence now on the successful outcomes of Housing First. You can Google it, and it'll pop up you know, many, many, many reports. It's been demonstrated in communities large and small, coastal and central, north and south. I mean, it's and national, internationally as well. So this is now seen as the best practice to for communities to, you know, make homelessness more rare, short-lived, and non-recurring. Housing First being not housing only, that first you focus on housing people to create the stability that will then enable you to provide better employment services, medical care, substance use treatment, family reunification, things like that. So the housing provides the first start, and then it's backed up and always paired with services. So it's housing and support. So you can Google it. You can look it up. All the evidence points to greater health outcomes, even possibly new income, increased income just by increased stabilization. Definitely the cost piece. There is, Marla and I were talking about this earlier, there might be a perception that we're going to save money by doing Housing First, but we need to remember it's housing and support services that we need to fund or finance or support somehow. What we do see is a reduction in the cost to public systems such as jail, court, emergency 911, the shelters that we're investing in as housing, you know, even the library having to create case managers and outreach work there. Sure. If we house people, we essentially reallocate that. And for our investment, you know, even if we invest the same amount, we're going to see far better community outcomes as well as the individuals that are housed. And eventually the cost on those public systems sure. will go down, but it'll essentially have the services in the right places, you know, right, with <yeah. laughs> mental health care providers and, you know, other, you know, kind of social services where, you know, a jail might not sure. be necessarily the appropriate
right.
place.
Right.
So, yeah, Google it and start to research it. And we'll also have a bunch on our Homeward 2020 website.
Great. Yeah. And Jess, as a liaison from the Health District's Community Impact Team, what's your role in the work of community addressing the needs of the homeless?
Well, I have a lot of roles regarding this. I think that it's important to recognize my background a little bit. So I'm a licensed professional counselor, and I focus on supporting people with both severe mental illness and substance use co-occurring disorders. And so I worked at the Colorado Coalition for the Homeless in Denver running an assertive community treatment team, which is a treatment team that focuses on these high utilizers of emergency service and people experiencing chronic homelessness as well. And so really the health district wanted me to come on kind of as a pay for success expert. And what pay for success is it takes private funds and invest it into the service and the housing so that you can see a reduction in the emergency and jail services. And so I really work, we're working on a pay for success pilot right now where we're really working on collecting some more data on people experiencing chronic homelessness. I'm working directly with the homeless action team to look at a care card system to make it easier for individuals experiencing homelessness to gain access to services. And I'm really just working on bringing my knowledge from Denver and making sure that people understand that these kind of programs can work and that they can lead to a lot of success for the individuals.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins, and this is Community at Work. This week is KRFC's annual fund drive. Our goal is $80,000, and it's going to take everyone to make this happen. Whether you pledge a one-time gift or become a sustaining member, you will be the difference maker. Go to www.krfc.fm now to support the station, and thank you. And if you're just tuning in, this is Community at Work, and I'm the host, Julie Yeslick, Communication Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. Tonight we're talking with Holly, Marla, and Jess about Homeward 2020 and the community efforts underway to make homelessness in Fort Collins rare, short-lived, and non-reoccurring. Before the break, we got an overview of the program and a scope of the problem. Now let's dive into some of the solutions that help people find stable housing or may keep people from becoming homeless in the first place. Holly, you've lived in Oregon and other areas of the country. For a city our size, it seems to me, anyway, that there are a fair number of organizations that offer aid to those that are experiencing homelessness, either residents or visitors. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That's true. Not only do we have a lot of organizations ready for the work, but we also know what we need to do. we know that Housing First works. We know that coordinated care and intensive case management works. We know we need more nimble funding. There's plenty of evidence and best practices showing us what to do. Like I said, my urgency is it's time to activate. We know how to get the work done. We need to drive the community narrative from the problems and challenges to solutions. This will inspire us and kind of bring us together as a community. So if we focus on the solutions, I think it'll really be a new approach for the community. Mm-hmm. So how can we come together to address this?
And what are some of the main service gaps in the community for those experiencing homelessness that we're trying to fill in?
Mm-hmm. So, of course, we've all experienced, Marla and Jess and I have all seen these barriers over and over again. So this isn't new news to folks who have been doing this. But a new twist on it, I'll put, is that those of us in activism work see gaps as opportunities for very specific action. So rather than say we're lacking data sharing, I'm going to say it's an opportunity for increased data sharing. We know we need actionable real-time data, and we need a better ability to share it so that we can provide more comprehensive care. We know we need to improve our housing and support systems to transition from homeless management to housing and support for people. And so that's going to be that system transformation piece. We know we need to focus on increasing these services in a more targeted way. And I'd say socially for our housing and services, a big vision that I have is that we're more socially integrating folks and creating more social interaction with our persons experiencing homelessness and poverty. What I see in Fort Collins is a lot of isolation of the population and othering, and they're over there at that place. And it's creating some disconnect, I think, of people and the population. So anyway, I'd like to see more integration. And then the last thing that Homeward 2020 is focused on data, improved data collection and sharing, improving our support systems. And finally, the outcome, the legacy of building that long-term sustainable solution. We're all looking to Homeward 2020 and what comes next. And I'd say primarily my focus is how are we holding ourselves accountable afterwards? If a body like this goes away, we know we need dedicated funding. We know we need to be seeing performance standards set to hold ourselves accountable. And are we tracking our performance? You know, are we constantly improving and making sure we are just doing this as efficiently and effectively as possible? So I'd say those are the gaps right now, are just kind of we need system targets and performance, as well as monitoring that, as well as the data and housing support improvements.
So, Jess, a lot of people point to substance use among homeless populations. And I'm wondering if that's a big factor here, and if we can really look at substance use with that also considering mental health issues and the fact that these are brain diseases.
Well, that's a kind of complex question, so I'm going to answer it in the best way I can without any visuals or anything like that to help understand. But oftentimes when you're finding someone with a severe substance use issue, you're finding that they also have severe mental health issues as well. So a lot of people will use substances to kind of self-treat or self-medicate the symptoms that they have from mental health disorders and mental health issues that they're experiencing. And so when we look at the homeless population, we do tend to see a lot of substance use in the form of use of alcohol, use of illegal drugs and things like that. However, when we start to put these individuals in housing and provide for supportive services, almost every research study is showing that those are decreasing. And so I think that a lot of times when we look at the population and we see people, you know, sleeping on the streets and, you know, you think of like the typical stereotype, we forget that that person likely went through some severe trauma and has some severe mental health concerns, and the only way that they know how to treat it is through the use of substances. And so when you start to put people into housing and then begin to teach them basic coping skills to deal with things like anxiety, sadness, depression, isolation, then you start to see their substance use go down quite a bit and their mental health improve. And so, I mean, the fact that, you know, substance use disorders or brain diseases really plays into a huge part of this. You know, the research for this is really just coming out, and looking at substance use as a chronic brain disease is very new in the field. It's been something that's really been eye-opening for me as a provider, thinking of it that way and working with clients in this capacity. And so if you look at it as a brain disease and look at the fact that, you know, the brain actually does change through chronic substance use, and substance users tend to have different brain formations than, you know, people who don't tend to get addicted to substances, then, you know, we really see that this is a bigger issue than just a choice.
Yeah.
And I think that that's something that's really important to consider.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're interested in hearing more about that, the health district is about to do a lot of work around that, and you can contact me as well, which my information will be provided.
Yeah. And Marla, there's obviously compassion and support in our community for the homeless. I think about the organized resistance to the Sit Lie Ban. How do you harness that passion and use data to encourage the types of systemic changes that are needed?
First of all, we're very grateful for the support the community has already provided us and continues to look for direction and guidance in what leads us next. And I feel that the Housing First Initiative data will be that guiding force. There's really two distinct arenas that the community can show up and give support. There's the systemic, which includes education about what is present in that data, advocacy, legislation, especially when it comes to city, state, and federal budgets, and where is the money going and how is it being allocated, and then donating to our current and existing agencies, too, so that way they can maintain their services or even grow to meet the needs of wherever there's gaps in supportive services. And then the second arena is humanizing this discussion, so shifting the public discourse and bringing not only education into it, but faces and backgrounds and stories and voices, too, as well as volunteer. Get in the community. And the Murphy Center is a great first place to start with that. We have a website that you can check out, but really we have so many different amazing agencies in this community. Wherever you start is a good place.
And if you're just tuning in, you're listening to KRFC Fort Collins, and this is Community at Work. This week is KRFC's annual fund drive, and our goal is $80,000. It's going to take everyone to make this happen. Whether you pledge a one-time gift or become a sustaining member, you will be the difference maker. Go to www.krfc.fm now to support the station, and thank you. And if you're just tuning in, like I said, I'm your host, Julie Eslick, Communication Specialist for the Health District of Northern Larimer County. Tonight we're talking with Holly, Marla, and Jess about Homeward 2020 and the community efforts underway to make homelessness in Fort Collins rare, short-lived, and non-reoccurring. Ladies, let's turn to some of the successes and what happens between now and 2020. What goals or improvements have been achieved to date in addressing chronic homelessness in our community?
I'd say some of the major outcomes of Homeward 2020 in the past have been actually development and creation of the Murphy Center as a resource hub so that people don't have to spend so much time going to different parts of the community or different parts of the city to access services. That was a vision and one of those general strategies of having a resource hub. Outreach Fort Collins is another outcome of conversation from the community and from the Homeward 2020 kind of leadership, as well as coordinated entry and assessments. How do we kind of all kind of look at the same things, such as mental health, substance use? What is someone's income? How does their age impact their access to services, things like that? So I'd say a lot has been done. And then I would say from Marla's Housing First initiative, we're also really piloting or demonstrating a lot of these Housing First approaches in many different ways. So that's been great. And then I think finally, community engagement and awareness has grown. And I think it's some of the recent, the sit-lie ban and the recent discussion about lockers has created such passion and interest in the community that I think we need to continue to ride that wave of engagement and just sort of educate them with the data that we're getting in Housing First, as well as where are we going? What is our strategy, you know, so that they don't feel like we're spinning our wheels and not doing something. Like, here's how we are engaging and working toward the solutions.
And what still needs to be accomplished, at least before your finish line of the 2020, and then we can talk about beyond the program, but being that we're in 2018 now, halfway through.
I have a few really main goals. I want people to see this as a community and social justice issue that engages us all. Obviously, we've talked a couple times about this data sharing to improve care. I really want to focus on funding alignment so that we can get larger, dedicated, comprehensive resource, like large funding pools. So it's less piecemeal, less, you know, can I continue my program for a year or can I add half a staff member? This effort of housing 330 chronically homeless people, many with very high needs, is going to take an investment. So we need to align our funding toward a strategy. And then finally, like I said, those system targets that help us know how are we performing? You know, when someone walks in the door to shelter, how quickly can we get information to provide the best services for them and house them? How long is that taking? Because right now, you'll see on the Housing First Initiative dashboard, we have the majority have been homeless 3 years or more and missing something in the system or some kind of service that's been able to help them. Yeah. So we want to be that wonderful thriving community that actually did find a solution to help them get housed. So, yeah, I'd say those are my main things from a Homeward 2020 perspective. Yeah.
I think that, you know, when we look at Fort Collins and Larimer County, we can really think of a community that cares a lot about its members and also cares a lot about its beauty and its space. And, you know, one thing I think of when I think of Larimer County is that we really need to provide the services for these individuals that we, you know, live up to. We're a fantastic place to live, and I'd like to make it a fantastic place to live for everyone. And so, you know, you can look at a lot of communities that have essentially cured homelessness, if you will, and you can see what they've done. And really what they're doing is they're providing housing vouchers, which assist in the housing piece, and they're providing the support to keep people in the housing. When you take someone who's been homeless for 3, 5, even 20 years, it takes time to reintegrate back into housing, and it takes support in the form of mental health treatment, substance use treatment, case management, help, you know, with any vocational or job-related tasks. And so we really need to figure out how to fund the support piece of that. It seems like from what I'm learning in the community is that we have a lot of access to housing vouchers. We're doing some good work in landlord retention. The Housing Catalyst is doing some really good work with building and maintaining some affordable housing properties, but we don't have the services. And that's really going to be the biggest barrier for this. So.
And then also to echo off of what Holly and Jess mentioned, diversifying our routes in housing. And so that flexibility piece is a really important piece to be able to meet the folks that we serve where they're at, which is a housing first principle. So the flexibility and supportive services, as well as flexibility and funding, because the needs are going to be different across the board. And really taking a deeper dive and a strategic approach into what type of housing and supportive services that our community needs. I don't think it's enough to say we need more affordable housing, because affordable doesn't mean affordable for everybody. So what range of income are we seeing in the Housing First Initiative data? And that'll be interesting over time, interesting to view over time as well when folks first get into the program and then continue through the program once housed as well. So I think the data will point us to what's next in our steps.
And are there plans to, I guess this would be for Holly, are there plans to continue similar efforts to address homelessness after the program ends?
Oh, absolutely. We are going to engage the broadest community on what's next and work on the approach together to develop, you know, kind of what does the vision after 2020 look like? And then also, you know, it'll probably be a big 6-month engagement process. But, you know, what are we still missing, or what's the priority for the community? Where are these resources going to come from? So, yeah, we are actively thinking about that ahead of time. Yeah, stay tuned for your opportunity to participate.
This, I guess, would be for all three of you. How do we make homelessness solutions sustainable?
Yeah, kind of echoing off of Jess and Marla, you know, the data is crucial. Building a community around people experiencing homelessness is crucial. One of the interesting things we're working on with the Housing First Initiative data, Housing First is an initiative, is a partnership with Homeward 2020. And so what we're trying to do with the data is give people very clear ways of direct action to support, you know, if we know we have 33 seniors experiencing homelessness, how can we activate our senior community, you know, to wrap around support if we can't afford it? Or, you know, youth, we have a population of youth experiencing chronic homelessness. If we have 100 folks who are employable and seeking employment, can we activate employers? So we're really looking for those niches. And I think to Marla's point about the data and different pipelines for individuals, we're also trying to quantify and monetize very specific asks to our community for how to help serve these 339 folks. So, you know, what can volunteers do? What can donors do? What can employers do? How much FTE and what ways do we need? How much housing subsidy do we need? How many vouchers do we need for people we think will need permanent supportive housing? And how many folks, you know? So we're essentially trying to better understand so we can be very laser focused in our asks and requests to our community. But I'd say anyone and everyone can get involved, even if it's bringing it to your organization. To just say, hey, you know, are we thinking about it or looking at it, or how can we contribute?
Great. Well, that's all the time we have for this evening. And if you want to learn more about Homeward 2020, contact Holly at homeward2020.org or call 970-325-3125 To see the latest data on homelessness at the local level, go to homer2020.org. And I want to thank you, Holly, Marla, and Jess, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to Community at Work. Critter Patter is up next here on KRFC Fort Collins. Have a great night.